So today we have this very famous gospel passage, which if we grew up Catholic or some sort of Christian faith, we've heard probably our entire lives. This story of Peter walking on water to Jesus. As we've heard it so much that at times we kind of miss some of the nuances and what's truly going on. Because as I've heard this story, I've often asked a couple of questions. And the first one I always ask is, what's the point of the miracle? Because every other miracle that Jesus performs kind of makes sense to me. So there's a man who dies, Lazarus. Awesome, he brings him back to life. We see what the point was, new life. There's a man who's blind, who begs to see God. Jesus Christ heals him and gives him sight again. And so I hear those miracles feeding the 5,000. Yes, there's a cause, there's a desire, and there's a great effect. But what's the point of Peter walking on water? And secondly, I always ask, why did Peter ask that? Because if we put it into perspective, what just happened? Jesus is up on a mountain praying by himself. He tells the apostles, "I'll see you on the other side. I'll meet you there." They get in a boat. They're miles out. This crazy storm begins. And so they're just being flung back and forth in this ship. And they are literally going down. The water's in the ship and they are going to sink. And just to make matters worse, they see somebody walking on water and there's like, there's a ghost out there. What is going on? Could things get any worse? We're about to die and now there's a ghost. And then of course, Jesus says, "Do not fear, it is I." And so I think if I was in a ship in the middle of a storm that was about to sink, and Jesus showed up walking on water, what would my request be? I think the logical request would be, "Jesus, stop the storm. Jesus, we're about to die. Come over here. Make everything go away. We're all going to die." But rather, Peter asks in the middle of the storm, not for it to go away, but he says, "If it's you, let me walk on water." And again, I don't know about you, but if I was one of the other apostles, I'd be like, "What are you doing? We're about to die and you want to walk on water? What's happening?" And so what is the point of the miracle, and why ask that? Well, I think in order to really get into this story, a good question to ask ourselves is to call to mind some of the storms of our own lives that we have had in the past, and maybe how they've been resolved, or maybe we could ask what storms we're currently in and what we're asking from God. And when I prayed over this, the two biggest storms that came to my mind from my own life was firstly, my vocation. It was the struggle and the turmoil of discovering that God made me to be a priest. It was a big storm. And the second thing that sticks out to me was the storm of a couple of years ago, my father's own passing. He passed. And when I thought about this, I thought of the storm. And so I want to share with you one little brief story. So my father in 2011 got sick, went to the hospital, and very quickly became incapacitated. He couldn't move, he couldn't speak, he was paralyzed. And he was there for quite some long time. And about a year of him being there in the hospital, never going home, just paralyzed, I was going to see him. And while I was in seminary, I would go about 3 or 4 times a week and visit him. And so, of course, when somebody's paralyzed and they can't speak or move, you just talk the entire time. And praise God, I enjoy talking, so it wasn't very difficult. And so I would go there and just talk to my father. And I would talk about my day, what was going on, my struggles, the good, the bad, and how I was doing in my journey to priesthood. And so one day I was there, just me and my father, and I remember being so excited about the fact that I was going to be a priest. I mean, I was jazzed. I was so excited. And so I said, Dad, do you realize that I'm going to be a priest? How incredible is that? And Dad, do you realize that in order for this to happen, God had to do so many incredible things. He's been working for years. And the fact that He had to, in 1948, create you, conceive you in your mother's womb and breathe you into existence. And then He had to, in 1949, conceive Mom into existence. And then you both would live your lives for like 25 years of searching around for your other half. And then eventually, when you're both around 25 years old, you would be set up on a blind date. I said, and then after that blind date, just 6 months later, you would be engaged, which, Dad, I still don't really get that, but awesome, you were engaged after 6 months. And then just like under a year later, you would then be married. I said, and then you and Mom would both decide that we only want to have about 4 children. We're going to max out at 4. And so first you have my sister, and then you have my brother, then you have my other brother, and then finally you conceive your 4th child. I said, but then what happened is that child died. It was a miscarriage. I said, and so you and Mom decided, well, let's have this last baby. So then, praise God, I was conceived. And then you raised me up in the faith, and we had that little saint in heaven praying. And then I searched my entire life looking for what God decided for me. And then, praise God, I finally discovered I was made to be a priest. I was like, and now here I am, Dad, about to do that, and I cannot wait. Do you recognize it? I'm going to be a priest, and you get to be the dad of a priest, and God had to do all these amazing things. He had to work for years and years and years and make His plan come into fruition so we could be right here today. Like, whoa, how awesome is that, Dad? And I remember being so excited, and I said, Dad, whoever in this room is excited for me to be a priest, raise your hand. And of course, he's paralyzed. And so I took his right arm and I raised it up in the air. And then just a few seconds later, after a year of being in the hospital, this paralyzed man, he raised his arm like a foot off the bed. And I was like, what? What just happened? This paralyzed man wanted to communicate to me so much that he was proud that I would be a priest, that he raised his arm off the bed and then just fell back down. See, the amazing thing about that is for a moment, in the midst of the storm, my father and I walked on water and saw the face of God, the power of God. And the reality is that He didn't stop the storm. The storm continued. My dad continued to be paralyzed for another year and then eventually died. The storm did not stop. Like Peter, he was walking in the storm, walking on water. There was still chaos going on around him. But for a moment in the storm, he walked on water and saw the face of God. And that's what we're all called to walk on water. And see, so often we pray, God, be that magician God who just, we wake up one day and everything's different. That everything, every storm has disappeared and everything's hunky-dory. But what we must recognize is that God will only allow a storm in your life if He knows confidently that you can walk on water and see Him face to face, even in the storm. He only allows suffering if He knows that in that suffering a greater good will come out. He will only allow that death of a little baby, a miscarriage, for the glory of God to make a saint and bring life into the world. God will only allow you to be on the cross if He knows that there will be a resurrection. And so we cannot be afraid. We cannot be afraid among the storm to see God face to face. And at times we are suffering so much. We're so much in the suffering, so much in the crucifixion, that we're so close to the face of Jesus Christ, like Peter, that we get distracted and we don't even realize how close we are to Him. It's like seeing a painting. You can see it from the distance, but if you get real close up, you have no idea what you're looking at. You just see colors. And Peter did not start sinking because he doubted Jesus, but rather he got distracted by the storm. And the sinking, how long would it take to sink in a piece of water? A second. But he shouts out, "Save me," and even there, Christ picks him up. And so let us, in the storm, see God's face. So how do we do this? The answer is with Jesus and with Elijah in that first reading. Jesus goes up to pray, and Elijah, among the chaos, is looking for the voice of God, and we see that God is not in the earthquake, that God is not in the fire, that God is not in the strong wind, but rather when everything goes away and everything is completely silent, Elijah hears the whisper of the voice of God. A quiet whisper. And so we are called to learn the whisper of God. We are called every day to spend 5 minutes in silence. And in order to hear that quiet whisper, if somebody's whispering, you can't hear them over the TV. If somebody's whispering, you can't hear them over a bunch of music. If somebody's whispering to you, you cannot hear them if you're talking over them. And so we must every day, for at least 5 minutes, go to our room, close the door, and sit in silence to learn the whisper of God. And then, when the storm does come, and it does, it always does, when the storm does come and you feel like you're sinking, because you've learned the whisper of God, then even among the chaos, you will see something out there and go, "What is that?" You might think it's a ghost, you might be afraid, but once you hear His whisper, even in the storm, you'll go, "That's Him. Christ, let me come to You." And the storm might not end, but you will walk. You will see the glory of God. You will see Him face to face. He will transform you. And He will allow you to walk on water.